Let's jump to a guy who's always in his prime. Aaron Wilson joins us now at Aaron Wilson underscore NFL Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Aaron, big day in the Music City. Julio Jones taking the field with the Titans. Well, this has got Titans fans fired up. How do you see this trade maybe taking this team to the level of not only winning the AFC South, but maybe going even further in the playoffs this year?
Right. Well, yeah, they already had a formidable offense, and now they have really matchup problems for teams because it's a pick your poison between him and A.J. Brown, and Ryan Tannehill obviously can deliver the football. And you have to respect the play action game with Derrick Henry and just the fact that, you know, Ryan even can take off and run and get yards when he has to. So, yeah, they're very complete offense. And I know that they lost some explosiveness when Jonnu Smith signed with the New England Patriots. But now they get back someone that can stretch the field, someone that's a proven pass catcher, really polished route runner, a really large, fast target at 6'3", 220. And as he said today, he's going to prove that concerns about his health are unfounded and that he will – he'll be a durable football player this year. So, yeah, when I look at it, I think it makes them better at every level of the game, and they will not have a problem getting him enough targets. And, you know, he's got the stats. As he said, he wants to win, and the Titans are set up to win right now. So, yeah, he just really improved his football situation from a competitiveness standpoint. And, you know, now for Mike Vrabel, everyone on defense, you know, they've got to raise their level for this to be a team that, and I think that's what's, you know, potentially holding them back is the defense has got to be even better. And the offense, I don't have any questions about them.
Joined by Aaron Wilson, covers the Houston Texans, really covers the whole NFL at Sports Talk 790 in Houston.
Well, Aaron, man, thanks for coming on and moving. Very gracious of your time. But no problem. Man, the Texans, you know, it seems as though there's a little confusion here being a new coach and coaching staff with a new team. And all of a sudden now they're cutting their practices short or no, you know, OTAs or mini camps feel like they don't need to. Is Cully, who I know personally there, he was with the Eagles there with Andy Reid. Great guy. Right. Man, is he over his head already here, or does he just feel that comfortable with the team?
No, I understand the perception, and perception tends to be reality for a lot of people, but this isn't really that complicated. When you have a mandatory minicamp, typically you need it because guys don't show up for OTAs. They didn't have that problem. They had really high attendance, and initially players told me and their agents, they were going to vote to not attend the organized team activities. They were going to vote in solidarity, and they did. And then they worked out something different with the team. So initially, it was going to be really low attendance at the OTAs, and guys were going to show up for the mandatory minicamp. And then, obviously, that would be the exception, you know, rookies and maybe guys that are new to the team. But there were going to be a lot of returning veterans, a lot of familiar faces that weren't going to be there. And they had conversations with David Culley, with Nick Cassera. They had good communication. So a lot of the team leaders, the Laramie Consuls, the Brandon Cooks, and they worked this out where guys gave them high attendance. And if he got the numbers that he wanted, then he would cancel the minicamp. And so, you know, something of a reward for if you give me a solid month in a row, then I'm not worried about the mandatory minicamp. But they're not the only team that's done that. Other teams have done it too. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if you're building trust, as some players said to us yesterday, I asked some guys about it after the practice. I had heard about this for a while and didn't really think it was that big a deal, but this was something to me that shows, hey, we do care about what the players think. We are going to be, you know, obviously, you know, involve them in these decision-making, you know, in the process and try to have, you know, the situation where the players feel like their views are respected, and they are. So, yeah, I think they're showing that they're not rigid. I don't think it's like the players are doing whatever they want. I mean, they did work hard and put in the time, and then they felt okay about it. It's 2.5 days of work. I think the way too much was made out of that to me in terms of not having the mini camp. But the OTAs, they're having an OTA today, so it's not like they just went on vacation yesterday. But, you know, and guys will keep working on their own and getting ready for the season. But yeah, to me, I don't think that was a bad thing. I mean, it just shows to me that behind the scenes, they're off to a good start, management, coaches, and players.
Going with Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans as well as the entire NFL. I guess kind of take us back now. I can't recall what it was there, Aaron, but they didn't have the names or the numbers on the jerseys. What was that all about?
Right.
Let's do that.
They hadn't finished assigning all of the numbers, so what they wound up doing was not updating their website or their jersey numbers until the next day. I think it could be a little bit of a New England thing because they've done that before with Bill Belichick in New England. And so, yes, they did have a practice where you didn't have, you know, for guys that weren't on the team last year and they didn't have new numbers, you didn't have roster numbers. Everybody had a jersey number. But the PR staff, if anyone asked, they would, you know, point out this is that guy, this is that guy, that type of thing. They only had the defense out there that one day, too. So there was no offense to really keep track of. And I would say the importance of the OTAs and, like, what I get out of them, not much. You know, you see who's there. You watch them do some drills. It's not a real competitive football situation. And the intensity of training camp is just doesn't, you know, it doesn't even come close to rivaling that. So, yeah, to me, I didn't put a lot into that as well. That was, to me, it was like a much ado about nothing. I'm not worried about it. I know who's who and what guys look like, and I can tell who's which players are which players.
Well, and I have to ask you about, you know, the quarterback situation. I know they have Tyrod Taylor, how they've looked. I think Jeff Driscoll and then the draft pick with Mills from Stanford. I'll let Mickey ask you about Watson and crew, but I guess take us through what they look like and how they're, you know, filling in the new system that they're running there on offense and defense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with no one blitzing and no, you know, I mean, I know what Tyrod Taylor is like, and he looks the same to me. He did, you know, when he was with Buffalo, and I covered him in Baltimore for 4 years when they drafted him out of Virginia Tech. And he's had a good, solid career, you know, where he's still in the NFL. He's one of four quarterbacks that were drafted in that class coming out of school that year that are still playing in the league, along with Cam Newton. And, you know, I think, you know, he'll be careful with the football. He's going to not throw a lot of interceptions. That's one of the things that is really a hallmark of his game. He's a little careful. He doesn't take a lot of risks, and he's still mobile enough to elude pressure. Davis Mills is very impressive physically. I've had a chance to meet him now, finally, at an autograph show the other day. And yeah, he's a, you know, makes a good impression. And Driscoll is a big athlete, and he's, you know, someone that in a spot action, if he had to go in a game, yeah, he could get you some quality snaps. But yeah, Davis has a bright future. A lot of GMs have told me that if he'd come back to school, that he would have likely been a first round draft pick next year. But they got him in the third round. That was the quarterback they wanted, not Kellen Mond, notwithstanding what Kellen Mond's dad had to say to the Minnesota media. This was the guy they had identified. It wasn't, oh, we didn't get Mond, we're settling for Mills. But I mean, as much as you could tell from these very limited OTAs, they looked fine to me. And yeah, I know what Tyrod Taylor's like. I've covered a lot of his games and practices. And yeah, he's, to me, very well preserved at age 31. He's a good athlete. He's in outstanding shape. And yeah, I think he'll be solid. That's what he is right now. He's a solid quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. He is solid.
Going with Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans as well as the entire NFL.
That's right, Aaron. As Blaine said, we do need to ask you about Deshaun Watson. It seems to have gotten really quiet on that front, at least nationally. What is the latest, and what are you hearing about how all this is happening right now?
Right. It's a two-pronged thing. A lot of teams want some type of clarity before they really want to engage in serious trade discussions. They want to know, you know, his availability. Is he going to be commissioner's exempt list this year, or is he going to, you know, face a suspension? That's the expectation for most in this era, where even if you don't face criminal charges, which he's not been charged criminally, they haven't announced the end of his investigation. We haven't seen any momentum toward a charge. It's a civil litigation situation, and they are not close to a settlement. So for teams to have the conversation football is a bit on the back burner. I know everyone that's a Texans fan, they want, you know, it's not going to get resolved. Obviously, it's not going to, you know, reconcile with the team. But what they want is the maximum return. And if you compare him to a stock, you know, he's a depressed stock, and you want the stock to go back up. Well, once you know how many games is he going to be available for and when, then it goes back up. He's the NFL passing yardage champion from last year. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback, one of the most dynamic players in the game. So, yeah, of course, there's a lot of value. Someone that could command 3 first-round draft picks. And I think there'll be – there's it's in the Broncos thing, I would downplay that. There's a lot of guys trying to recruit him. That's not a big deal. But, yeah, I look at the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Miami Dolphins are two of the teams to take seriously in this. And I expect at some point for those conversations to heat up. But they're not at that point. And everyone's in a holding pattern because the legal standoff between two heavyweights, Tony Busby and Rusty Harden. Rusty Harden is Deshaun's lawyer. Tony Busby is the plaintiff's attorney for all of the lawsuits that have been filed against Deshaun Watson alleging sexual misconduct. You just don't have any movement toward an agreement. And because they're so, you know, far apart on this, and he's not scheduled to be even deposed until February of 2022, this thing could play out. And, you know, hopefully at some point cooler heads prevail. Something is reached as far as an outcome that is a compromise and amenable to all parties. And then you can turn the page for football. But it's very tough to do that. And to get really, you're putting the cart before the horse for a lot of people that are thinking, well, why hasn't this trade done? Well, you got to ask the lawyers. The lawyers have to take care of their end. And this is a very, very serious legal matter. And they've made some, you know, very, you know, serious allegations. So all of that has to be vetted by the NFL, by Lisa Frau, who heads that investigative team on terms of personal conduct investigations. And until all that happens, yeah, football is, you know, a distant second to the importance of this case.
Aaron, we're way up against it on time, but I'll ask you this. Do you think he plays 8 or more games this year, whether it's for the Texans or for anybody, talking about Deshaun Watson, if you had to guess or bet at this point?
Just guessing, you know, and that's assuming that it's adjudicated this summer. I think, yeah, he would play 8 games if it could get done before September's kickoff and then a trade and all those things can be worked out. But if it remains where it is now, I predict commissioner's exempt and they don't consider that punishment. They can, because you're being paid. And I would think then you're looking at some sort of lesser suspension in 2022. And that's a terrible worst case scenario for Deshaun Watson and for the Texans to a lesser extent and the teams that are interested in trading for him. But, you know, like I said, you know, football, it's got to take a back seat right now because they've got to work this thing out. And me predicting that, I wouldn't be guessing. I mean, I know a lot about, you know, this case, but that said, I wouldn't want to get in front of myself or in front of, you know, what might happen. Is it? Sure. It's a legal situation, and I won't pretend to be a lawyer here on the radio.
Well, we won't either, Aaron. Always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for the information, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, man. Thanks a lot.